If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Hebrews 11. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to Hebrews 11. There are two ways, I don't know about every other preacher here, but on the two ways that a preacher can come up with something to talk about on Sunday mornings. One of them is just read your Bible. Take notes or make mental notes or put little notes on your phone and you'll come back to it. And that's one way, but the other way is what I have been doing lately. Sunday night, Monday morning, I simply ask God what you want me to talk about. And some way, somehow, I don't know how he does it, but he lets me know what needs to happen here Sunday morning. And Erica gave me spiritual confirmation in her preamble that God certainly has told us what we need to hear this Sunday morning. Hebrews 11 is very familiar to a lot of us. If this is your first time here, it might be your first time again. But you will find in Hebrews 11, now faith. That's enough. Now faith. That's enough. My brothers and my sisters, you know by now, if you've heard me preach once or twice, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is under attack. And the sad reality is only under attack from the outside and the inside. Half of our country, it might be now if you take a poll today, half of our country no longer has any affinity with Christianity. If you ask half of this country, they will tell you we are no longer or have never been a Christian. The Southern Baptist Church, which is the largest denomination in the United States of America, I told you a couple of Sundays ago, suggests that 75% of their churches, over 50 million people at one time, but now over 75% of their churches are on the decline. Membership is declining, tithing is declining, evangelism is declining. 75% of their churches are on the decline. 24 of their churches are growing, but they're growing not by evangelism, not by people giving their lives to Christ, but 24 of them are growing just because churches, people are changing churches. They're already saying they just go to another church and get on somebody else's rolls, and that's why the rolls are increasing. Which means that only 1% of our churches are now growing by salvation. Only 1% of our churches are growing by people who are giving their lives to Christ. There are people who don't go to church now because they simply don't believe in God. They are atheists or they are agnostic, do not simply believe in God. There are people who no longer go to church on Sunday mornings because they can get it on TV or they can get it on the internet and they can get it like what we are thinking about doing just this week, but we might have to change it based upon these purple seats. I see live stream where you can watch church from home. But we created live stream not for those of you who live in Columbia. We created a live stream for Vita Johnson, who's now in Tennessee. We created a live stream for Pete and Alexa Adams, who's now in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We created a live stream for fraternity brothers that I have who don't live in South Carolina to say, leave if we knew you were on the internet, we would watch you every Sunday. Live stream ain't for y'all. We're going to find a way, Cliff and Tim, to block it in South Carolina. The IP address in South Carolina, we got to figure it out by November 1st how to block it. Because ever since we've gone to live stream, I've seen more empty. And then there are persons who have just lost their faith. They were believers, but they don't believe anymore. And various reasons can make you lose your faith. Mama could die. Daddy could leave. Job might go to Mexico. Church scandal. Somebody in church didn't tell you good morning. They wouldn't allow you to be the president. Pastor said something you thought was telling your business. We ain't got enough time to tell your story. When we're preaching to everybody. It's a good place. Right? And so people have somehow have lost their faith. And so no longer do they come to the house of faith. Paul tells the Hebrews, now faith. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, says in Hebrews 11, now faith. Paul, the diminutive tent maker from Tarsus, tells Hebrews, children of Israel, children of the promise, now faith. Paul is not talking here to Gentiles. He's not talking to people who we assume had no faith. He is talking to a group of individuals who are children of faith, who they would argue are the originators of the faith in their day. He is talking to Hebrews who are Israelites, who are Jewish persons now living in Jerusalem, who now believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He is talking again to Jewish Hebrews living in Jerusalem, the capital of faith, and telling them to have faith. He is not talking to people who've never been to church, people who've never read scripture, who've never sang songs of Zion. He is telling a group of faithful people what faith is. Which I had someone talking to me this Sunday morning. He says, now faith. Now, those of us, who just quote scriptures and quote it out of context all the time, because you want to impress somebody, you don't memorize one or two, have to realize that when Paul is writing his letters, Paul did not write chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. It's all good, right? They ain't on. I know my mic on, but they all right. When he wrote to Philippians, when he wrote to the Ephesians, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, when he was writing his letters, a scribe writing the letter, the scribe did not write in chapters and numbers. They simply wrote a letter. But when the canon of the Bible was put together for our sake, and so that we could remind people and have research mechanism, then they started adding chapters and verses to each one of the letters. And so you can understand Hebrews 11 and 1 until you understand what's going on in Hebrews 10. And in Hebrews 10, he reminds us the saints that you've got to have faith, but you have to have a new faith. He says that we as believers should have faith that we're not crumble. He says, but we're not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. He says, we who are of faith should not be destroyed by the attacks of the devil. And then he gets to your Hebrews 11. He said, we who are of faith should not crumble, should not go fall apart. Now, faith. Now, after everything is falling apart, now, when you feel like you're persecuted, now that nothing seems to be adding up, now that you got a fool in the White House, now that your health care is under attack and your premium's about to go up, now the baby's having babies, now the kids disrespecting their teachers, now with gay marriage, now with people deciding what is sin and not sin, now! Come on, I'm waiting on you to catch up. Now that you got that doctor's report that you got to get a second checkup for, now that you can't see your way through, now that your bills are higher than you want, now! Faith. Now with so much calamity and confusion, now! And he's telling a group of people who already have faith, now faith! Erica, why does he tell a group of people who claim to know God, claim to love God, claim to have faith, now they need it? I'm glad you asked. Who are y'all quiet? They listening? All right. Talk while you listen. The original Hebrews, the children of Abraham,
Isaac and Jacob. Yeah. Were given a promise. And that promise was given to Abram. God promised Abram that he would give them a land. That land would be flowing with milk and honey. God delivered on his promise. But that's all they had, Deacon Daniels, was a promise of land. After they get the land, you don't find any other expectations in the Old Testament. The only other expectation was God to protect them in their land. You don't believe me? Ask Job. Job raised the query, if a man die, shall he live again? There was no expectation in the Old Testament of a future life. So their faith was just based upon the promise of the land. And once they got the land, there was no more expectation of need of God except to protect them from their enemies while they lived in the land. But then a man named Jesus comes on the scene and tells them that he's going to prepare a place for them that ain't the land which he had already promised Abram. That there is another place on the other side of the Jordan. There is another land that he's going to prepare a place. And not only is he preparing a place, he's going to build us some mansions. One with my name on it, one with your name on it. And that there is the promise of the resurrection. As a matter of fact, he told a woman by the name of Martha, I am the resurrection. I preach my own self happy up in here. I am the resurrection. I am the life. If anyone believes in me, you shall see the Father. He died in the body where he died. And then he got up. And so what Paul had the audience task is teaching people and making people believe that if Jesus got up, you can get up too. And so once there is a faith in some lightning baron, now Paul has the task of saying, now you've got to have faith in the resurrection. Help me, somebody. That if Jesus got up, one day you'll be able to get up too. The same thing that happened to our brother, the same thing that can happen to you. So now you've got the have of the faith. There was the first faith, the believing that God was going to give us a land that would be our home. But the new faith is that there is a land on the other side of the Jordan, not made with hands, but eternal. In the heavens. And so I've got to prepare you for the new promise. And the new promise is believing in the resurrection. So now, somebody say now. Oh, come on, make it talk. This so hard. Don't say now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It gives them a new faith, and then it gives them a new definition. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. He says faith and believing in something is substance. Substance is tangible. Somebody say tangible. It is tangible. It is something that you can quantify and qualify. It is a tangible thing. It is the substance of things hoped for. Which is an oxymoron in itself, because faith is something you cannot see. Tangible is something you can't see. He said it is the substance of things that you want to happen. But it is bigger than something you want to happen. It is something that you expect to happen. And when you believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus has told you something, you expect that thing to come to pass. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is tangible. This is evidence of things not seen. How can it be evidence? Oh, no, we don't talk. Okay, we're good. We're on the same street. How can it be evidence? And you cannot see it. And a time is a crime. The police come out on the scene. And you'll see a truck called a crime investigation unit. People in that specialized truck come with their gloves. They backlight. In these Ziploc bags. They come with their rails and them their lights. And their job is to collect the evidence on the scene. Their job is to find out how many bullets, where the bullets are in the wall, where the shells are located, and then the trajectory upon which that gun was shot in the wall. They keep on going so they don't contaminate any of the evidence. So if their footprints, or the amount of footprints, or whatever the thing on your hand, or handprints on it, they can collect that and see whose prints are on some of the evidence. And so they have to be very careful not to contaminate the evidence. And they will put everything in a Ziploc bag and sign it and seal it so that the evidence is not touched. Except for by the hands that originally touched it. They have to collect it so that it might be preserved for use in the courtroom. It is evidence. Just as a substance is tangible, evidence is touchable. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. How can it be collectible? How can we quantify and qualitate it if we can't even see it? That's where your faith comes in. For anybody know we walk by faith and not by sight. And you ought to have by now, if you've been living life long enough, a faith file. You should have some stuff in your Ziploc bag. Of times you know that God stepped in on your situation. Right in the midst of time. If you've been living this long enough and trusting Jesus for a while, you can look back over your life and see some times when you had messed some things up, that you had tried some things, but God stepped in and made a way out. When you didn't know how you were going to make it, but you need and you believe that God will make a way out of the way. God stepped in somehow in some way, and you know that there was nobody. Anybody know that there was nobody? There's just nobody but God that can do some things. And if you don't have any evidence, if you don't mind not being so stingy, let me give you a little evidence. For 2 years, he needed a new liver. The doctor said, if you don't get a new liver, you're going to die. For 2 years, and one day, they said, you got to be down in Georgia.